Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Joshua. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We are in the last two chapters of the book of Joshua. Beginning in chapter 23 today, we're completing our study in the next session or two of this wonderful book of history that shows the victory that is there for the children of Israel as they follow God's direction and plan. Joshua has led the people in this book named for him. And in chapter 23, after the conquest has been underway, after the land has been divided and all the work that has been done up to this point has been completed, Joshua then takes time to give counsel. And this is to the rulers of the children of Israel. And just as Moses counseled Joshua, so Joshua gives private counsel to the elders, as he is an aged man now. And it reminds us of what Moses had to say there in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 through 13. In chapter 23 and 24, Joshua gives a similar threefold challenge. That is, number one, to put God's word first in their lives. Number two, to live before God faithfully. And three, to love God supremely. And all of these things will be included under the basic Old Testament charge to fear the Lord and serve the Lord willingly. And so we see the counsel or the exhortation of Joshua here as we began in chapter 23, verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Now, that verse 6 reminds us of much that has been repeated or said earlier in the book of Joshua, but also in Deuteronomy, as Moses was leading the children of Israel, as Joshua was leading the children of Israel. We see this thing of be very courageous and do all, keep and do all that's written in the book of Moses, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Now see how emphatic this counsel of Joshua is to the people. Do not even use the name of these gods, little g, in vain. Do not profane yourselves with even the name of these deities, because they are nothing but idols. They are worthless. Don't swear by them. Don't name them. Don't mention their name. Don't serve them. Don't bow yourselves down to them. Don't have anything at all to do with these idols of the Canaanites. Now, if you have done any study of the Canaanite religions, you'll see they had goddesses and gods for just about everything. And they were everything from a little clay molding to a small wooden carving to some greater size statue. But they were all the same. They were all dead. They had no eyes to see, no ears to hear, no legs that could move, no heart that could pump, no nostrils that breathed air. They could not speak. They could not control anything because they were inanimate objects. They were just dead objects. And he says, don't allow yourself to be taken in by these idols. Again, we read verse 8, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. What you have been doing is what you shall be doing. What you have been doing is what you should be doing. You should be following the Lord God, Jehovah. Verse 9, for the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Let's think about it for just a moment, these two or three verses. We are to cleave unto the Lord. That means we are to refrain from hanging on to anything else except our Lord. We're to hold on to him as strongly as possible. We see that it's the Lord that has made us victorious, the children of Israel must say. They've been made victorious by the arm, the hand of Almighty God, not by themselves. No man hath been able to stand before you this day. It was not because they were so great a nation. It was not that the Israelites were the tallest or the fairest or the prettiest or the most handsome or the strongest. It was none of those things. None of those things mattered. What mattered was that they just absolutely hung on to the Lord with all their might, and they stayed attached to him. And then verse 10 goes on to explain that when you are with the Lord, and the Lord is your refuge, and the Lord is your victory, one of you, one man of you, shall chase a thousand. For it's the Lord your God who fights for you, not you yourself. And he's promised to do that. He's promised to fight for you. So since it's the Lord that fights for you, then we must cling to the Lord so we have the one who fights for us. Otherwise, we have no strength. We have no victory. We have no reason for being. We have no usefulness. We must cling to the Lord. We must cleave to the Lord, as it says here in Joshua. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even those that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and you go in unto them, and they to you, Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. How more straightforward could the Lord, speaking through Joshua, have been than to say, stick with the Lord or lose it all? One of you will chase 1,000 when the Lord is with him. Love the Lord your God with all that you have, with all that you are. Because if in any way you slide back, you go back and cleave into the remnant of those nations, even those that remain among you, you're going to be the loser for it. You'll disappear from this earth. Now let's talk about this going back business. I do not find backsliding in the New Testament, this going back. I don't find it. I see it mentioned when it talks about, that we put our hand to the plow, we're not worthy if we look back, that sort of thing. But when it comes to the term backsliding, it is represented or mentioned many times in the Old Testament, but never that I can find in the New Testament. Now, I'll be expecting to hear from folks with their suggestions on that statement. But here we see the term go back, and it means backslide. It means to turn from that which is precious and real and godly and glorious and shining as the brightness of the stars with such wonderful holiness, such saintliness, such sanctification, being with God himself. To go from that, to go from victory, we slide back into the mire and the muck of the world and the world system and the sin of the world and the days of sin, and it becomes a time of great distress. Because he says here, if you will go back, even to these nations that remain with you, if you marry them, if you go in unto them, if you make them part of your family, you're going to be destroyed. Know for a certainty, verse 13, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. Why should he? Because you're part of them. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass, that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them. Then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Now this is chapter 23. Chapter 24, of course, will continue this, and it becomes Joshua's last charge, and we'll see his death as well in chapter 24. But in this first part of the charge, it is blessing, victory, goodness for you if you follow the Lord. If you follow the Lord. And it's curses, degradation, destruction, demise, if you follow these nations that are still left, the nations that are in Canaan. You must eradicate them, you must move them out, you must have nothing to do with them. It is of utmost importance, that you follow God's business. And so we see that this is given to the children of Israel in such a direct fashion. Now, why would that be? Well, it was for posterity as well as for the present. Many things that are said and done in public situations and even in private situations are done for those that will come later, not necessarily for those that are there now. The present, that's us, posterity are those yet to come, or those that are yet to come into leadership. And so these counsels of Joshua, this last council of Joshua, as he is exhorting the people, exhorting the elders, the leaders, he's letting them know, here's the straight of it. You follow God, you stay close to God, you do what God says to do, and you are undefeatable. Is that the word you use? You are without worthy competition. You are invincible when you stick with Christ, when you stick with the Lord God Almighty. And for we who are Christians, we know that if we stick with the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ Himself, then we are in all ways to have the victory. We will obtain the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord and what He does for us. And this is what Joshua was trying to tell them. Now we know from reading the history of the children of Israel after Joshua's time, after they're in the land, even watching modern history, even up till this very day, and we see the mistakes they make when they entertain the inferior deities that are not deities, but the demonic religions of those around them. We see what kind of trouble they get into. For example, every time that Israel has been forced to give up land for so-called peace, we see all sorts of upheaval. See all sorts of troubles. Now, there's nothing wrong with the non-Jew coming through the land, visiting the land, being a part of the land. But they must come under the rule of God. And that's what Deuteronomy says. That's what Leviticus says. That's what God laid out through Moses, was that if you were going to be a stranger and a sojourner in the land, you'd be treated with equality, but you would have to obey the law that God had set forth. In other words, you could not act as a heathen in God's land. You just were not allowed to do that. And if you did act as a heathen in God's land, you would be punished for that. And that's something we've seemed to have forgotten in the modern era, of course, but that was not forgotten in history until when they started allowing those that were non-Jewish and non-conforming Jewish people. They started letting them take over in Israel, and when they did, they suffered the consequences. When you allow error and sin to reign, you suffer for that acceptance of sin. God has made that plain. God has made that very clear. And it's still the same truth. The truth has not wavered. It hasn't changed. If we wish to have success in this world, we must follow God and God's plan. And so God's call here through Joshua was to understand that it was God who fought for them. And as I said, in this private counsel to these folks in Israel, he gave a threefold challenge: to put God's word first in their lives, to live before God faithfully, and to love God supremely. And that was included whenever it was said that you should fear the Lord and serve Him with understanding or with willingness.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.